Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to once again come together in peace and freedom to study your word. May our hearts and our minds be open as we hear our lesson this morning, and may we go forth with our hearts and our minds filled not only with your word, but the spirit of your word, that we may speak it and live it according to thy will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is going to kind of be in time with real world news events. We're going to do 2 Samuel chapter 8 this morning in your companion Bibles. That's on page 418. If you've been watching the news, what's been going on all over in Israel, I can remember in the 1980s when Hezbollah and Hamas decided to cause problems over there. President Ronald Reagan sent the battleship New Jersey and the Nimitz carrier battle group over and settle things down. Unfortunately, today under this president, we'll probably get two transgender diplomats talking about climate change. But in the old days, under King David, this is how King David would have responded. 2 Samuel chapter 8, hear now the word of our Lord. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methegar out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured, he put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants, and they brought gifts. David smote also Hadazadel, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hoed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zoab, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Betah and Bepethorai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Joram his son unto King David to salute him and to bless him, because he had fought against Hadadezer and had smitten him. And Hadadezer had wars with Toi. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver, and vessels of gold, and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he had subdued, of Syria and of Moab and of the children of Ammon and of the Philistines and of Amalek and of the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zoboth. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all of Edom, he put garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And David reigned over all Israel. And David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Alchemech, the son of Abathar, were priests. And Seraiah was the scribe. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiadiah, was over both the Seraites and the Philistines. And David's sons were the chief rulers. And that's how King David dealt with business. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I want to speak to you this Sunday and next Sunday about the Holy Spirit. And in the past, as we have studied, we've looked at the keys to understanding Scripture, the fact that it needs to be rightly divided. We all know it's not all for us, but it's all to us. We've looked at God's plan for the ages. We understand what that is on the overall, and of course that's what you need in understanding any subject matter, is to see the whole to the part. And in studying the Scripture with right division, you can get an idea of what God's plan for the ages is. We've looked at various terms, different words. Sometimes maybe get a little bit wound up with the Greek and the Hebrew, but that's even necessary, word study, when you're looking at the Scripture because of the translators. We've looked at the structure of the Scripture, how important that is to realize that it's different than any other writings ever found in the course of history. Many things we've looked at, but one of the most important subjects is the Holy Spirit. And even a superficial reading of the Bible leaves no doubt that what the Scriptures teach concerning the Holy Spirit is of supreme importance to us. And so today I want to look at that subject, and then we'll finish on that next Sunday. First, let me ask you a question. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is it? How do you think of the Holy Spirit? What is your concept? How do you describe it to me? If I ask you, what is the Holy Spirit, what are you going to tell me? Do you look at it as Casper the ghost, for example, something along that line, something that you don't know, you can't see it, but it's there? What is your concept of the Holy Spirit? Is it intangible? Is it invisible? Seeing is believing. How can you believe in it if you can't see this Holy Spirit? Would you describe it as an angel? Is it some power? Divine power, maybe? Some force that's supreme, that has some effect on you and me that we don't know or understand? Do you see it as some aura over the head of Mary, as you see so much in artwork? Is that the Holy Spirit, or is it the Shekinah glory that Moses saw at the burning bush, or Paul saw on the Damascus Road? Or is it a person? What do you think? Well, the first thing to notice with regard to the Holy Spirit in Scripture is that this Holy Spirit that is spoken of does have titles. And if we look at those titles, it would give us some insight into what is this Holy Spirit? Who is this? Help us define what it might be. If you look at Genesis 1:2, for example, in your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I should say. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God. It is a part of God. It was there in the beginning. The Spirit of God. And the word there is Elohim. That's the name of God, by the way. That's what we know, that the name of God is Elohim in the Greek or in the Hebrew. So he is part of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, page 1007 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1 of chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach in good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So this, here we see the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord God. The name there is Messiah. So we see Elohim God, we see the Creator, we now see Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord. This is another title that goes along with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Another scripture that gives us some insight is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here's another title. He is the Spirit of our God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, and more personal, the Spirit of our God. Another title we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm a little bit lazier than Roger. He puts these all up on the screen for you. I make you look them up. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 29. Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be he thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the sacrifice of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So we add that title to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of our God. Now the Spirit of grace, undeserved grace, by the way, favor for us. We find in John a lot of information with regard to the Spirit. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 16 in that 14th chapter. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the word cannot receive, but it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. The Spirit of truth is another title. in that same chapter, go over to verse 26. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit or Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we find this title of the Comforter of the Holy Spirit, along with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, and the Comforter that comes to us. In the next chapter, in chapter 15 of John, we look at verse 26 again. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So here we have an indication that this Comforter, this Spirit of truth, is a helper or advocate to help us understand. Look in the next chapter, chapter 16 of John, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. By these titles, we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is without doubt a part of the deity. It is a person, a spiritual being that abides in him and is sent by him and to us. Now, this sometimes raises a problem in the minds of many because they don't understand it. But the first thing you do if you want to know the truth is to believe God, even if you don't understand it, is important. Anything else dishonors him and exhibits a heart of unbelief. So we have here this Spirit of truth that is sent to us, a Comforter, that is a revealer of truth. It's personal for the believer. It's a close relationship between the way that God has chosen to manifest himself to us in Scripture, by the Father, and by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. And it shows the deity of the Holy Spirit, and it has this three-in-one aspect, not the Trinity. By the way, the Trinity doesn't show up in Scripture. But we have here, begin to see that this is a part of the Godhead, this Spirit. And the following scriptures show this close relationship and proves the deity of the Holy Spirit. In your Bibles, you're in John, hopefully. Turn back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So the Father, God, honors the Son, Christ Jesus. And then if you'll look over to chapter 8 of John, chapter 8, verse verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. So we see in this verse that not only does the Father honor the Son, but the Son, Jesus, honors the Father. So we have this spirit that is there because God turned himself into a human being. That spirit that is the Spirit of God came with Christ Jesus in the flesh. So the Spirit was there with him in the flesh as well. And then we see in John chapter 15, if you'll turn over to John chapter 15, just go back over to a verse that we already had looked at. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then in chapter 16, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Father honors the Son honors the Father, and the Spirit honors the Son, Christ Jesus, as well. Another verse now that sheds some light is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Page 1699. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the Holy Spirit then, being God, becomes a mighty aid, the revealer of truth, so that we may know the things that are freely given. Now, unfortunately, we do not find much about the Spirit itself. Why is that? Well, it's because the past and the present activities of the Holy Spirit further show him to be a part of the deity. He's part of God the Father, God the Son, and is God the Holy Spirit. It is not a trinity, as so many think, of three different people. It is one deity. And we don't find a lot because he speaks of the Son and not of himself. He speaks of God and not of himself. So there's not a whole lot except what has been revealed in these, in the Godhead and in Christ Jesus as a result of him being a part of that. But we do know there are a few things that we can see about the Spirit. And I've listed seven of them here that we want to take a look at this morning. One we already saw in the creative work. You don't think of that, but what we read back there in Genesis chapter 1 verses 2, and the earth was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. So the Spirit of God was with God when he created. So the Spirit has this aspect of creativity. That's one thing that we can perceive. We find that same thing in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, We don't need to go there, but we find the same thing, that this Spirit was a part of God, and it's part of His being is the creative work that He does. The second thing we find with regard to the Spirit is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Page 1865. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private invitation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit can speak to us today. They that wrote the Scripture were moved by the Holy Spirit. I've described it as a ship on the water without a rudder. The wind drove it in a direction. That's what these men that wrote the Scripture, they were moved by the Holy Spirit in the direction that God wanted them to write and what God wanted them to say. And that's the same Spirit that is available to us today in our study, is to reveal the truth. We see that He is a revealer of the truth. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto him by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, and they are revealed to us as they were to the writers of Scripture, through Scripture. That's why it's so important that we look at the Word of God, because that's where the Holy Spirit is in our lives, is a revealer of truth in this Word. We find that it is also, the Holy Spirit is a witness for us and to us. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. A witness for us and to us. He sees the heart of man. We can't, but God knows who is a natural man and who is not. He provided anointing. Now you have to be a little bit careful here. Switch over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And you got to realize here that Paul was backed up now into a different dispensation. Those people in that dispensation were anointed. Paul teaches that we are sealed. But this shows that you can't take every scripture in verse and apply it to your life. You've got to realize that here Paul's talking about something different. They were anointed. We are not anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. They had the ability to speak in tongues. They had the ability to heal people and so forth. So that was the Holy Spirit's purpose and use during that dispensation. Not true today. Only through scripture and prayer is where we find the Holy Spirit with the church of the one body of which we are members. We find that the scripture seals us until the day of redemption. As these people here in this dispensation were sealed as well, we find that we are sealed. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let me just stop there. How do you grieve the Spirit of God? You know what I think? We grieve the Holy Spirit by not allowing Him to work in our lives through the Word. And we grieve the Holy Spirit by praying that which is not pertinent for this dispensation. There's ways to grieve the Holy Spirit. But whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You're losing something, but you're sealed. You're forgiven, no matter what. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, that's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. But you're sealed regardless. We find that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us as well. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1797. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Those that believe this truth that's revealed unto us has sanctified you, made you holy. You can't make yourself holy any other way. It's only through Him and the sanctification of Him that the Holy Spirit and you can be holy in God's sight. Now, just to kind of review what we went through in all those scriptures, and there's more. But I want to be clear. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just Bible courses won't work. You have to have included the Holy Spirit Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just teachers. I hopefully am not teaching. The Holy Spirit is working through the Scripture here. Yes, we learn a lot from the lips of others, but what they learned came from the Holy Spirit. Knowledge and understanding cannot come just from methods of study. You find all kinds of religious literature on studying the Bible. It won't work if the Holy Spirit hasn't been involved in those that wrote it. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just preachers. Sometimes truth, but the Holy Spirit has to be involved. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just books. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from science. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just reading the Bible. You see, the natural man reads the Bible, but he doesn't believe. And so he can read the Bible until he's blue in the face. But it's just like reading Shakespeare or something else. But when the believer believes what he believes, and the Holy Spirit is there, the Bible blossoms for your understanding. Must read with your heart. Must read with your ears. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives you understanding in that which you read. And it is the Holy Spirit that is the translator, the revealer of truth. In other words, it is by the Holy Spirit alone that we receive knowledge of the truth through the Word. Therefore, we must continually pray like the psalmist of old. Found in Psalms 119, it says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy word." Paul says that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened through the word. Why is this true? Go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you don't know Christ, if you can't believe who Christ was, then you are a natural man. And you can read the Scripture, like I said, until you're blind. And you will not understand it. You have to believe who he is. Christ, the Son of God, who had the Spirit of God, was blessed by God, and is a revealer of truth unto us. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, who is a rewarder of truth to those that believe him." This, I hope, gives us a running start with the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. Next week, we want to pick up on this, and we want to look at 9 instances in the book of Ephesians where the Holy Spirit is involved. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love towards us. We're grateful that you have provided a revealer of truth in the Spirit of God. We pray that we all will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you as a result of our study in the Word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.